Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Gambling on Life radio show. My name is Nancy D. Adler, as you know, and I am your Gambling on Life growth coach. We have a very exciting guest with us this evening, and we are broadcasting live just outside of Phoenix, Arizona. Pardon the music delay there. And it is 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, just outside of beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. And I just, for those of you I've had not had the privilege of meeting, I assist winning groups and also individuals to move forward in any area of their lives through the 12-step to recovery approach and beyond. Without further ado, I have a very exciting guest for us, so I won't spend too much more time. I am grateful and honored to welcome Jerry Detweiler to Gambling on Life Radio. Jerry is the author of the newly published book, Reduce Debt, Reduce Stress. Jerry, welcome to the radio show.
Oh, thank you, Nancy, and I wish I knew you were in Phoenix. I was there a couple weeks ago. It would have been nice to meet you, but it's great to talk with you on the phone tonight. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Many people, as Jerry and I have discussed earlier, are stressed out about the economy, and unfortunately, not everyone's handling it in the most positive of ways. Many are experiencing depression or anxiety, eating poorly, even turning to alcohol to manage stress. Alcohol and gambling and possibly some other not-so-healthy means of handling stress. There are healthier ways to respond to financial stress, and to help us find them, we have credit expert Jerry Detweiler here to serve your nerves. She's been helping Americans find solutions to their credit problems for 20 years now and has been featured in countless news articles, including USA Today, The New York Times, The Today Show, CNN, and many more. I am grateful and pleased to be included in Jerry's most recent book, as I said, Reduce Debt, Reduce Stress. So again, Jerry, welcome. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Anything you would like to add to that?
Yeah, you know, Nancy, it's tough times, and I think you know from your personal story that you shared in our ebook, Reduce Debt, Reduce Stress, that when you're going through a financial crisis, it can be just overwhelming. And the most important thing that I want to do is sort of, you know, reach out to people who are stressed and they're not sleeping or they're not eating or they're eating too much or whatever it may be, and say, you know, there are steps you can take to get back to financial health and emotional health again. And the most important thing is to reach out for that help, because a lot of times it's scary to make that phone call or to take that step or to reach out for the solution that you need.
Thank you. That is always step one. I used to feel, Jerry, that, you know, asking for help was a weakness, and I no longer feel that way. I see it as a strength.
I agree. And it also, you know, we all feel in isolation. Although we read the news and we know that lots of people are going through troubles, you know, it's very easy to feel isolated and not know who you can talk to or who you can trust. And so what can happen is that we can end up getting maybe bad advice online, or ruling out an option that might be good for us because we've heard some misinformation. So one of the things my co-authors and I did in writing Reduce Debt, Reduce Stress is not try to overwhelm people with information, but just give them the straight scoop on the various options that are out there. And we start with sort of our debt triage, which is, where are you? Here are the basic options that are usually available if you're struggling right now with debt. And then which ones might make sense for you, the pros and the cons. I'm not a person who rules out any option, whether it's bankruptcy, whether it's debt settlement, whether it's credit counseling or something else, including 12-step programs, which are also very important, as we could talk about, for people who are struggling with debt. I don't rule out any of those options. It's really a matter of finding the one that's right for you. And while there may be some downsides, there can be some upsides too.
Absolutely. Thank you. I have read your book. It's a fabulous book. And it's really quite comprehensive. And I know when I stopped gambling, there were a lot of things to take care of. And of course, the money, being in debt was just caused so much stress in my life. And I think sometimes a lot of us don't think about the physical effects and the stress that can have on our body, and not sleeping, as you mentioned, and even relationship problems can be caused by having financial problems.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's some pretty strong data that's showing the physical and emotional effects of stress right now. For example, 1 in 4 people who have high levels of debt suffer from severe depression. And having been through depression myself twice, I know how debilitating that can be. And the tricky thing is that sometimes you don't recognize it. When you're the person who's going through it, you don't realize necessarily that you're depressed. And so it can be helpful if you have friends or family members or people who you trust who can sort of grab your hand and say, look, we need to get you some help with this. 29% of people who are suffering from financial problems report that they have severe anxiety, which can also be debilitating. A lot of people are reporting that they can't sleep and that they may be skipping meals. Or overeating, one or the other, or possibly at times both. The other sad statistic is that the reported cases of child abuse have been increasing. And many health professionals believe that's because of the financial and economic stress that many families are under. So it's not just ourselves that can be hurt in these times, of course. It can be the children and the family members as well. And so we all have to, come together in a bigger picture. We have to certainly solve our own financial problems. It's very important to find a solution, but also to be supportive of others. So if you're one of the fortunate folks who are doing okay right now, then it's really a good time to reach out and help others who may not be doing so well. And you never know. You could literally be saving a life just by reaching out to somebody else.
Thank you. And in the giving is the receiving, Jerry. I do listen to the news and keep up on current events, which is important. And I think, even we as entrepreneurs really kind of have an obligation, or that's how I feel about myself, to reach out to another, even if you don't have a lot to offer, you can give someone a smile or a handshake and ask how you can help.
Yeah, and just to be a friendly ear or someone to commiserate with, it can really go a long way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. You speak in one of the chapters in your book, Jerry, about the illness behind the illness. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, a lot of times we think financial problems are just a weakness or a result of financial illiteracy, a lack of education. But in fact, there are a number of other illnesses that are often associated with debt. And gambling addiction, of course, is one of those. Other types of addiction can also be often tied in. One of the other women that I feature in the book, we included quite a few real-life stories in the book because we want to show people how other people have conquered these kinds of problems so they can feel some sense of hope. But another woman who I had met at a conference, she suffered from bipolar disease, still does, and she helps others now through her website. And she shared how she just literally took a wrecking ball to her financial life, liquidated her retirement portfolio, lost to her real estate, including real estate that was paid in full, just spent everything. And it was part of the experience of what happened when she went through her bipolar mania. phase and had to get help. So there can be other illnesses. ADHD can be related to financial problems because of the lack of ability to focus and stick with the budget or stick with the numbers or review the numbers that need to be reviewed. As I mentioned, depression can also go hand in hand with the financial problems. It could be part of the cause, or it could be part of the result of the financial problems, but those can go hand in hand. So it's really important to look at this, look at debt, not just as you just don't know how to spend less than you make, but to look at the holistic picture and see if it's a symptom of other issues or other illnesses that may be going on in someone's life. And fortunately, I think now, even more so than ever, when I started in this business 20 years ago, Debtors Anonymous, it was around and it was certainly very active, but it would have been harder, I think, then to find the information and support you need now. Now you can go online and you can actually get support online through groups like DA or GA or AA. And so I think the good news is that there's more of an awareness and even more of a support network available for folks who may need to reach out and get some help with the other illnesses that are associated. And I also really want to encourage anyone who thinks they may be suffering from depression, anxiety, or something else to get the help you need to, you know, find a way to talk to a doctor or at least call a hotline and find out if there's something you can do to address the physical problems, because it's pretty hard when you're in the throes of an addiction or an illness. It's hard to get yourself together to try to deal with your creditors and handle those credit card bills and the calls, and those bills may just end up piling up in a drawer somewhere and remain unopened, and that isn't a solution.
Yes, I remember the days that I don't think about too much anymore. I don't struggle with gambling, but there were lots of bills piled up on the counter, that's for sure. And I really can appreciate what you said, Jerry. Thank you for sharing that. You know, so many times, or at least that's how I felt, that, you know, here I'm an intelligent woman, and, you know, how could I have placed myself in this position to be, you know, so down on my finances?
Yeah, isn't that the truth? We beat ourselves up, don't we? We say things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to our best friend, right? If she were in that situation. And yet we can really be very, very hard on ourselves.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, here's my foot, let me shoot myself in it. But you know, I really appreciate what it is truly a symptom, or at least it was for me.
Mm.
And that was my first step, was to reach out and ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the financial situation was. So thank you for sharing that. Now, I know you published your book as an e-book. So can you tell us how people can get a hold of the book? I know I see we've got one caller, Jerry.
Okay.
And I am happy to, when you're open for questions, we can bring the caller.
I'd be delighted. I love to answer questions.
Okay. It'll be just one moment. Thanks, Jerry. Hello. Who's on the line, please? Hello, I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. Did you have a question for Jerry? Hello, may I say who's calling, please? Did you have a question for Jerry?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just have one question for Jerry. In your ebook, does it really explain how you can actually get out of debt?
Oh, yes, yes. We're talking about all the theory here. But yes, we work through the steps. Do you mind sharing a little bit about what you're going through, or do you have a specific question about your situation?
Oh, no, I just have a few credit cards. That's about it.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to know, you know, whether the ebook was about dealing with the situation when I was actually solving it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now, what we do is we walk people through step by step the solutions that are available. And so, for example, the very first thing we do is we show you how to figure out whether it's something you can do on your own with the resources you have right now. And we give you tools for how to figure that out. There's actually some pretty simple calculations you can do to figure out, can I do this on my own or do I need additional help? And then if you say, yes, I can solve it, then great, you've solved it, and then we'll talk about other things, but we've given you a solution. If not, then we move you to the next step, and we say, okay, so you can't pay it off on your own based on your income right now, so what's the next step? And then we look at the other options. Could a debt consolidation loan work for you, for example? And if it does, where can you get one? Do you need to talk to a credit counseling agency? If so, how do you find one that's reputable? Do you need debt settlement? Again, how do you find the debt settlement company that is reputable, and what can they really do for you? And then finally, at the end of the book, we talk about the other emotional issues, but we also have a whole chapter on getting your credit back in shape. So let's say one of our readers may have had to go through bankruptcy, for example, and wants to know how to rebuild their credit. We give just basic, no-nonsense, straightforward advice, no hype, to tell people how to rebuild their credit so they can get back on track and build a better financial future.
Okay.
And since you called, you do get a free book. So make sure you give us your information offline so we can make sure we get you the book.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Is this Janine?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Janine.
Hi.
And thank you for your question. Any other questions, Janine?
No, that was my only question.
Jerry's very thorough.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry, we spoke earlier about the importance of having balance in our lives and getting proper rest and exercise. And one of the things that I have recently done is I published a what's called Gambling on Life Joy Journal, and the importance of just journaling what I am grateful for.
You know, Nancy, I love that. I love that. I love that journal, and I love what it does because, you know, I had heard that Oprah recommended writing a daily gratitude journal, and I knew this was something probably good to do. But when I delved into the scientific research behind it, I was absolutely blown away. There are numerous studies that show the physical and emotional benefits of writing down or expressing your gratitude on a regular basis. And they've shown it all the way from kids in college to people who have had severe accidents or illnesses or things, really bad things happen to them. And they've shown that those who take the time to express gratitude feel better, they live longer, they're healthier, they're happier, they attract better things into their life. It's just amazing how much good research there is behind it. So that is, I'm with you 100% on that, and I recommend your journal to our readers because it's so important to make sure that you express that gratitude. Even though it feels like nothing's good in your life, you have to focus on what little things are going right, and that really is important.
Well, thank you. And, you know, for me, it doesn't have to, you mentioned little things, it does not need to be, you know, something enormous. And it's been my experience that, you know, we get what we focus on most, and especially if our lives are a bit stressed through the economy or whatever the case may be. Most of the time, I can certainly find something that I'm grateful for and be grateful in the small things and the large things. And what I do is I also write down why I'm grateful. Sometimes that, you know, it's kind of easy to make a list of things that I'm grateful for, but when I add the why, it adds kind of a certain richness.
And, yeah, and I think it helps to you try to feel it. You know, my experience has been that when I really try to focus on it and feel that feeling of gratitude, it makes a difference rather than just making a quick list. Well, I'm thankful for my eyesight and my hearing and everything else. You know, you have to really feel that. I think it helps to feel it in order to really make it work.
And we do receive what we focus on most. So You know, that's not to say that we're not in reality, but thanks for presenting the statistics on that. It's made a large difference in my life and my journey of self-discovery. I believe we all have the answers we seek within ourselves. And so that's how I start every morning. And I just make a list of what I'm grateful for and write down. There's not a lot of rules, Jerry, about journaling. And I just,
right.
you know, write from my head to my heart to the paper and see what comes up. And for me, I also make a list of my accomplishments and things that, because we spoke earlier about how we can be kind of hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's important, too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I also think, you know, we're talking a lot about the, you know, about the emotional and psychological issues, but on the practical sense, the other thing that's really important to do if you're struggling with debt is to get those numbers down on paper, and that's really the toughest step. One of the women I interviewed in the story in the book that for her story, she had gone through a divorce, and she just decided she needed everything new in her life, so she started spending, and she realized it was getting out of control, and so a friend came over, someone who she trusted, and said, you know what, we need to sit down and put these numbers down on paper so you can see what you owe. And she was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I know that feeling. You don't want to open those envelopes. You don't want to hear from those creditors or start dealing with it. But it really is the essential step, because no matter what solution you decide to address your debt or address your financial situation, it's going to start from that point of knowing the basic numbers. So we offer some free worksheets on our website at reducedebtreducestress.com. You can download those free worksheets. If you can't do it yourself, you may want to call a credit counseling agency, because they will definitely help you engage in that first step and see what the numbers are. And it can be very hard and very stressful. Once you get past that point, then you start moving forward just a little bit further. You move to the next step. Okay, now I know what the numbers are. Now what options are available to me? And then you start looking at the options. Then you start weighing the pros and the cons. And it may take a little while before you're ready to accept the next step that you need to take, but you keep moving forward bit by bit, and that's how you end up with a solution. Even if the solution isn't what you wanted in the very beginning, it can be the solution that allows you to move forward with your life financially and emotionally. So it's really one step at a time, which I imagine sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah, but it truly is. And the first step is I need to look.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to look, because that's how I determine where I am, and that determines the next step.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if it's too stressful, either choose a credit counseling agency to work with, or get a friend who will sit down with you and help you open those numbers. I remember interviewing one woman, a very accomplished woman. She had a PhD, very successful in her field, but she had let her finances just become a mess. And she said, you know, the first day all she did was line up all the envelopes and put them in a stack. And the next day, all she did was open them. She didn't even look at them. She just opened all the envelopes. And then, you know, each day she went one step along toward getting it organized. And by the time she was done, she discovered that she was able to conquer her debt much, much faster than she had realized. But because she kept putting it off, it was sitting there sort of looming over her head, and it became this big, you know, this big black hole, this scary monster that she was afraid to take a look at. But once she was able to get that all down, she was able to conquer it.
Good for her. Boy, that's a real success story, huh?
Yeah, there's many success stories. It's just, I know right now it doesn't feel like it, because all we're hearing is the stories of people are having trouble. But, you know, people are succeeding, and that's my goal, is to help more people find the solution and find a way out of debt.
Well, thank you. I think, you know, in a personal development class I attended last week, they were talking about how sometimes the answers that we seek are so close, but because it's so overwhelming, whether it's our credit or our business or our personal lives, sometimes it's just so overwhelming we can't see it. So it's not that we're not intelligent, but it does, there again, you know, it helps to reach out. So thank you for writing this book. I know it's going to help many.
Oh, I hope so. And we did write it as an ebook, which means that it's a book that someone downloads online. It's just in a PDF form, which is pretty easy. Most people have the free Adobe Acrobat Reader. And one of the reasons we did that is so that people can get it right away. So if they're two in the morning and they're really stressed out and need an answer, then they can access it right away. And it also allows us to update it. And so we've actually been making revisions even since it was released just about 6 weeks ago. For example, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, which is the trade association for many of the credit counseling agencies in the country, they just released a new program that will enable more people to repay their debt through a CCCS or a credit counseling program. What they've done is they've gotten agreement from the top 10 credit card issuers to allow consumers who don't qualify for the full repayment program. You know, when you go to credit counseling, what happens is if you have a lot of unsecured credit card debt, they will put you on a repayment plan that will have you out of debt in 5 years or less. You'll make one monthly payment to the counseling agency, and they'll pay each of your credit card companies until you're out of debt. And typically, there's reduced interest rates and fees associated with it. Well, now, because there were a lot, the debt levels have gone up over the past couple of years. Now there's a lot of folks who want to repay their debts in credit counseling but just can't afford the payment. So with the new guidelines, the monthly payments can be lowered, still enabling the consumer to get out of debt in 5 years or less. And they've also allowed a cushion for a budget and a cushion for unexpected expenses and a little bit of savings. So traditionally, creditors have said, if you've got a penny, we want it to pay back the debt. Now they're saying, realistically, if someone's going to repay their debt, they need some room in their budget for unexpected expenses. And so they'll allow a consumer to keep that extra money and start a savings account while they're in the credit counseling program. So it's encouraging. We'll see, as time will tell what the results will be, but the NFCC estimates that some 500,000 consumers last year could have paid back their debts in credit counseling and avoided bankruptcy by using these new guidelines. So let's hope that it opens the doors for a lot more people who do want to pay back their debts but just can't right now.
That does sound encouraging.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I hope it'll work.
Is that a recent change?
It's a very recent change. It just happened in March of 2009, and that's one nice thing about an ebook. It's not out there in print, so we can actually just update it, and anyone who gets the ebook then gets the current information.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Anything else that comes up for you, Jerry, that you would like to add about your book?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that I want to especially emphasize that I'm getting a lot of questions about these days. One is debt settlement, and that's where a consumer will go to an organization. They can't afford the payment in a credit counseling plan. They don't want to file for bankruptcy, so a debt settlement agency will negotiate to settle their debts for less than the full amount. This is in the news a lot right now, Nancy, because several attorney generals are starting to crack down on agencies they say are misleading consumers, maybe taking their money and not delivering on the services. So you really have to be very careful if you're thinking about debt settlement as an option and make sure that you understand how it works and also that you screen the agency very carefully so that you're dealing with an agency that isn't just going to take all your money up front, take a big fee up front, and then not be around when you need to settle these debts. It's a process that's going to take a couple of years in most cases, so you need an organization that's going to stick with you and work with you over the time period that it takes.
Thank you for your expertise.
I try to help. Now, do we have an hour, Nancy, or do we just have a half hour?
I set it for an hour.
Okay.
We can go. What I'd like to do is encourage the listeners to call in if they have questions, Jerry.
Okay.
And let me put the number. It's 646-716-5931. And we are giving a complimentary copy of Jerry's book to the next four callers to call in, and also a complimentary copy of Gambling on Life Joy Journal. So if you have questions, please give a call, and we'll hold on the line for a few more minutes. And as I said, Jerry's book is very comprehensive, and it takes you step by step and all the options. And I would assume that the decisions are always up to your clients, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I want folks to have a clear understanding of the pros and the cons of each option, because there is so much misleading information. And I think the challenge is, you know, if I'm in debt and I call, let's say, a credit counseling agency and a debt settlement agency and a bankruptcy attorney, they're all going to tell me why I should use their services in most cases. Now, a credit counseling agency might say, you have too much debt, you need to go to talk to a bankruptcy attorney. But for the most part, they're going to say, this is the solution for you. And of course, because that's what they do, and they hopefully do it well. What my co-authors and I want to do in Reduce Debt, Reduce Stress is to make sure you understand each of the options and when it's appropriate so you can make an informed decision. And when someone calls me and they're in deep and they're looking for help, typically what I'll do is I will really encourage them to take a look at all three of those options very carefully, ask some intelligent questions, but not to make up their mind until they've actually talked to all three of those types of agencies, so both a credit counseling agency, a debt settlement agency, and a bankruptcy attorney. And with the right questions in place, then they can decide which one is most appropriate for their situation. But if you don't get the answers, if you don't reach out for that help, then what can happen is either you don't make the best decision, or later you sort of kick yourself because you say, well, gee, if I'd known about that or if I'd tried that, it might have been better. I don't want to leave people regret. I want you to know you've gone in with your eyes open, you made an informed decision, and based on that, you're going to decide what to do. And a good example there, Nancy, is the whole issue of taxes that comes up when folks are negotiating debt. Under our current tax law, if a creditor forgives a debt, or even part of a debt. Let's say you owe $10,000 to the credit card company. They agree to settle the debt for $5,000. Well, the $5,000 that they wrote off, even if it was for interest and penalties and charges you don't really think are fair, is considered taxable income under our tax code. And if you can prove to the IRS that you're sort of upside down, you owe more than you own, when that debt is settled, then you can probably get that tax wiped out. But if not, then you may find yourself next April 15th with a surprise tax bill that you hadn't expected. Bankruptcy, on the other hand, if you end up having to go through bankruptcy and you wipe out a debt, there's no tax liability for debts in bankruptcy. So it's sort of a small point, but it could be an important point for someone who perhaps has some concerns about the tax liability, and so it's something you need to be aware of when you're looking at these options and weighing them to see, well, gee, it sounds good not to have to go through bankruptcy, but if I end up with a $25,000 tax bill, I'm not sure if that's the best decision for me. So you have to look at all these nuances to make sure you make the right decision.
That is absolutely key, and so I just love how you include all the resources, and, you know, it allows us to ask the right questions. You mentioned asking the right questions. Sometimes we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know what we don't know. And when you're under emotional stress, you'll think of one question at 2 in the morning, and then by the time you actually go to find the answer, you can't even remember what the question was. So it's definitely, you need some guidance sometimes to know what questions should I be asking. The other really big issue that we talk about is what effect do the various options for dealing with debt have on your credit scores? Because that is an issue for a lot of people today. They're worried about ruining their credit. And so we do two things in Reduce Debt, Reduce Stress. One is to talk about realistically what's most important. You know, is it getting out of debt or is it maintaining your credit score? Because a lot of times your credit score has already been affected, maybe more than you think, by the debt you're carrying. So you may not, even though you're paying your bills on time, you may not have as strong a credit as you think. You also have to think about how long it will take you to get out of debt if you don't do something differently and you just try to hang on making those minimum payments. But then the second thing is which options affect your credit scores and which options don't. So if, for example, a loan against a retirement account might be a good idea, and I do warn there are many cases where it's not, but if it turns out it's a good idea, then that could actually help your credit score because you'd be shifting the debt from your credit report off your credit report, and you could see your credit score improve by having that debt paid off. So there's some interesting ways to look at it from a credit score perspective. And then, as I mentioned before, also, what do you do if you have had to make the tough decision, for example, a bankruptcy and need to rebuild your credit, how do you go about doing that in an easy way without spending thousands of dollars on credit repair that may or may not work?
I have a little experience with that coming back.
You do, and you share it in the book, yes.
There is life after bankruptcy.
That's right, and you're a success story, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And actually, thank you for that nugget about a loan on your retirement.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. It's become very popular. About half of all retirement plans have loans out against them. You can't borrow against an IRA, but you can borrow usually against a 401k, a 403b, or maybe a pension plan at work. And those have become very popular, but they also have a lot of traps to them. So you really do have to watch out and make an intelligent decision about whether you want to take a loan against your retirement funds. For example, if you leave or lose your job, you may have to pay it back immediately. If you don't, you're subject to taxes and penalties. The other thing is, a lot of times I've found it can be tough to make the calculation about whether it makes sense or not. And I'll give you an example. One person who called me was thinking about borrowing against her retirement plan, but when we did the numbers and figured out what her payment would be, we realized that it wouldn't give her enough relief in her monthly budget, so she would probably end up turning back to the credit cards. And soon, you could just see it coming. It would soon be a retirement loan payment plus credit card debt. And so it was it wasn't a very good long-term solution. The other thing we point out is that retirement funds are protected in almost all cases in bankruptcy. So even if the worst comes to worst and you do have to file, creditors typically cannot get after your retirement funds. And I think given the recent news on what's going on with Social Security and Medicare, we probably need to hang on to our retirement funds at all, if at all possible.
Exactly. That's my personal opinion. Exactly.
Yeah.
May I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
What caused you to, do you remember the moment that you decided you wanted to write this book?
Actually, this book is an update of a book my co-authors and I wrote in 1999. At that time, it was called Slash Your Debt. It was a small little book. We just wanted a short little guide to what are your options for getting out of debt. And I must confess, we did not anticipate that 10 years later things would be such a mess. we knew debt was a problem. We knew it would be a problem probably for as long as I'm going to be alive. But I really didn't know it would come to such a crisis. So about a year ago, we said, it's time for that book to be updated. And so we started just, quote-unquote, updating it. Well, it turned into a full-blown rewrite, because things have changed and things have gotten much more difficult. And this time I really wanted to bring in the emotional and psychological aspect, because having been, through depression myself, having experienced it, and having talked to many people lately who have never expected that they would be in financial trouble. They felt like they were doing everything right all along, and now they've just been knocked to their knees by the economy and what's happening, and they're really, really stressed. One particular person stands out who I really thought was probably suicidal. And, as a parent myself, and this person was a parent, I thought, anything I can do to help this person get through this and help as many people as possible realize there is a light at the other end of the tunnel, I want to do that. And so this book became much more than just an update. It became a rewrite. And I really do feel passionately that if we're going to get through this crisis, it's going to be not just about sitting down and making a budget. It's going to be about really making sure that we're taking care of ourselves in all ways, physically, emotionally, and financially, so that we can come out ahead at the end of the crisis.
You're so correct. Thank you. It's at the end of the day, it's body, mind, and spirit. And when we put ourselves first, that's been my experience. And really, it's kind of an old expression, but take one thing at a time,
yeah,
and put myself first. So it enables me to make much better decisions. I've suffered through depression back in the day as well. So it can be quite debilitating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Miss Jerry, how can the listeners get a copy of your book?
Reduce Debt, Reduce Stress is, again, an ebook, and it is available on our website at reducedebtreducestress.com. And there are also, as I mentioned, some free worksheets you can download, the spending x-ray and your debt analysis. Pretty soon we'll have our debt triage chart available on the website to download as well. And hopefully that will walk us through the options. I think one of the interesting things I find is that a lot of us are looking for the perfect solution, the one that will cut our debt and solve our problem, but won't leave any kind of negative marks on our credit or any scars, so to speak. And depending on where you are, how severe your situation is, there may be some tough decisions to make. There may be some scars, but we overplay it in our minds. And a good example is someone who has been through a really tough time and just has to file for bankruptcy. Maybe they're being threatened with a lawsuit. Maybe they're going to lose their home and they really would like to try to keep their home. Maybe they're going to lose assets that they want to keep, whatever it may be, that they need to file for bankruptcy. And so, the fear is I'll never be able to, the most common thing I hear is, will I ever be able to buy a home again? And you're a good example of that. You talk about it in the book, how you bought a home and rebuilt your credit after bankruptcy. It really is possible. I've seen people go from bankrupt to very decent credit scores in as little as 2 years if they're proactive about it.
That was my experience. I was definitely proactive about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, it was taking one step at a time and not allowing myself to become overwhelmed.
Yeah. And was there anything in particular that helped with improving your credit score?
Well, one thing that I did was I began to, after the bankruptcy, slowly take on a couple of credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, used them wisely. And that was the way I rebuilt my credit.
Yeah, and that is key. That's one of the keys to rebuilding your credit. A lot of people think it's just getting rid of the negative information. So that's why you'll see credit repair companies, for example, so popular, because you may think, well, if I just get the negative information off, I'm fine. But the FICO score, the credit score that's most widely used, is very heavily weighted to the most recent 2 years of activity. So I remember one gentleman I worked with, he had a bankruptcy and two tax liens on his credit report, but he didn't use much credit. And so when they fell off, he actually saw his credit score drop, because compared to other consumers who had a bankruptcy, he had been doing pretty well. He hadn't gotten in trouble. But when the bankruptcy and tax liens dropped off, he was compared to the rest of the population. He just didn't have any credit. So it is essential, although if you've had problems, it may be a little bit scary, but it is essential to start maybe with a training wheel credit card, a secured credit card, so that you can start establishing some positive references and show that you are able to pay your bills on time.
Yes, show a history of it. And I hear what you're saying about, it might be a little bit scary, but I was just determined. And
yeah.
That was one step at a time, too. It didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, determination and focus are really helpful, but It is that taking the next step as you go along can be helpful, and not getting sidetracked. We're seeing a lot of scams right now. For example, I work with credit.com, and one of the things that we're getting a lot of complaints about are the advance fee loan scams. And these are the scams where if you have bad credit, you're promised a loan. You can go online and you're promised a loan, and one of two things may happen. One is they may charge a large processing fee, or they may say you're approved, but in order to get the loan, you have to pay a credit insurance fee that protects them in case you default. And so then what happens is the borrower will wire, typically by Western Union, will wire an insurance fee of anywhere from a few hundred to actually several thousand dollars to these companies that are typically located overseas, and they never get anything out of it. I mean, the money is gone. So we've had consumers report to us they've lost $5,000-$6,000 to these advance fee loan scams. And in the U.S., it's illegal for a creditor to require credit insurance as a condition of a loan. So that's a tip-off right there, that if a company is saying we have to send us money to cover credit insurance and it's required, then you know they're not a legitimate operation to begin with. And even so, if there's a large upfront fee involved, you really need to do your homework. We do name names on Credit Bloggers. If you go to creditbloggers.com, we do name names of companies that have ripped off other consumers. So that may be one place to check if you're investigating and you want to find out if a company may or may not be legitimate.
Really? That's creditbloggers.com?
Creditbloggers.com, correct.
I love that. We name names.
We name names. We're not afraid to. Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing that. Yeah. But no secrets.
No secrets, especially now. Boy, you hate to see someone lose even a few hundred dollars to a scam in an economy like this. That just can make a big difference for someone. And so just like anything else, when things go bad, someone's going to see an opportunity, and you do have to be careful that you're dealing with a reputable company in that kind of situation, whether it is a counseling agency or a company promising to help you rebuild your credit, whatever it may be. You need to be very careful.
That's wonderful. Thank you. I made a note of that, and we'll pass that resource along.
Good.
To my clients. Janine, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Did you have any other questions for Jerry or myself?
No. She pretty much answered all my questions. Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, Janine, thanks for calling in, and I am happy to, Jerry, I will send you Janine's email so you can get her book.
Okay. And Nancy, do you mind if I talk a little bit about the credit card legislation that's going on right now?
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's a big, as of the time we're doing this interview, President Obama is planning to hold a town meeting tomorrow in New Mexico to talk about the credit card industry, and we expect legislation. So depending on whether you're listening tonight or if someone's listening to the archives, we expect legislation that's going to help protect consumers against some of the unfair credit card practices that have been going on. And one of the biggest ones we've seen a big problem with right now is credit card issuers retroactively raising interest rates on customers who have never paid a bill late. So you maybe have a balance, but you've never missed a payment on that card or even anything else, and yet your interest rate goes up to 22% or 25% or 28%. And that makes it very, very difficult to ever dig out those kinds of interest rates, especially if you have a substantial balance. It can be really hard to ever get out from under that. So there is legislation that's working its way through Congress, and the president expects to sign a bill by Memorial Day, at this point is what he says, that would require a credit card company, first of all, to give you 45 days advance notice if they're going to raise your interest rate. And then if they do, they can only raise it for future purchases and not for existing balances. The only way they can ever raise your interest rate on existing balances is, of course, if it's a variable interest rate and they've notified you that it's going to change as interest rates in the economy change, or if you're 60 days late or 30 days late. We don't know what the final number will be. But if you're late significantly on a bill, then they'd have the ability to raise your interest rate at that point. So I think this is really a big deal. In the 20 years that I've been in this industry, it's really been a march downhill. We've been deregulating, letting the card companies do whatever they want. And unfortunately, it's gotten to the point now where a lot of people are finding that they want to pay their bills, but they just can't. The interest rates have gotten so high and the payments have gotten so high that there's no way they can ever dig out from under. So hopefully this new legislation is going to bring some balance back to the credit card industry. I think in the meantime, we have to really watch our statements because they still have the ability to raise interest rates. It won't go into effect immediately, and so we're going to have to watch out because I'm sure a lot of us will find our interest rates probably are going up in anticipation of new rules. But in long term, I think it's going to provide for a much more healthier credit environment for consumers and for the industry too.
It sounds like it. When you said retroactively raise interest rates, that's a little disconcerting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's just one of the things. The other one we're getting a lot of complaints about is, I don't know if you've ever if you've ever had a credit card where you've made a, let's say you made a purchase and it was at 9.9% interest, and then maybe you transferred a balance that was at 3.99%, and then maybe you had to use one of those convenience checks or a cash advance, and that was at 21.9%. Well, as we explain in Reduce Debt, Reduce Stress, if you want to pay off your credit card debts, the best way to do is to pay off your most expensive interest rate card first. That's going to save you the most money. But the way credit card companies, the way they allocate your payments is they're always going to put your payment towards your lowest interest rate balance first, because that way the part of your balance that has the high interest rate is just sitting out there racking up interest until you can pay it off. So it's counter to what we say is the fastest way to get out of debt. So under the new rules, depending on how they fall out, we don't know, the Senate and House bills have to be passed and reconciled, but depending on they fall out, there's going to be a more fair allocation of your payments. So in the best case scenario, they have to put your payment towards your most expensive part of your balance first. Worst case scenario, they have to sort of divvy it up among the different balances. So at least you're chipping away at that high interest rate part of your debt, rather than only paying off the low interest rate part of your debt, which it doesn't seem like much, but it's a big deal, and it affects a lot of consumers these days.
That is a big deal. And yes, absolutely. Read the statement. So that's kind of important too.
Yeah, it is. So the other thing that we're you want to watch your statements for is your due date, because a lot of issuers use floating due dates. So if you're, let's say your credit card company, your due date's always been on the 20th, they may bump it up to the 15th. And if you don't catch it, you'll end up being late. You'll probably be charged a late fee. You may end up with a higher interest rate because you were late. So you really want to, if you're one of those folks who just sort of waits till the bill's due, then you just go ahead and pay it online. You don't really pay that much attention. I think now's time to be very conscious of what's going on with your credit card bills and your debt, just to make sure you don't fall into one of those traps that can end up being expensive and one of those things where you end up sort of kicking yourself later and saying, gee, I wish I caught this.
And sometimes it's such a simple thing.
It can be, or it can be buried in the fine print too.
Yeah.
So either way, you have to pay attention and stay on top of it.
Not exactly easy reading some of those statements.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a question's coming up for me, Jerry. I seem to recall quite some time ago now reading in, I don't remember what publication, to kind of steer away, or I guess I'll just ask you the question. I'm stuttering a
sure.
little bit here. What effect on our credit rating does it have to transfer balances from one credit card to, in other words, if I was going to consider opening up a new credit card with a very low interest rate and transferring balances?
Yeah, that's a great question. How would it affect your credit rating?
Right.
Yeah, about one-third of your credit score is made up of the debt you carry. And in that calculation, one of the most important factors is how close you are to your credit limits on the credit cards that you carry. So are you using, let's say, 30% of your available credit? Are you using 50%? Are you using 80%? The ideal ratio is about 10%. So if you're carrying debt, it can be tough to get down to that 10% quickly. So sometimes in the past, we've recommended that you go ahead and maybe transfer some of the balance to another card in order to sort of level it out a little bit. It worked much better in the past than it did now. What we're finding now is sometimes you transfer the balance and they'll end up closing your account or lowering your credit limit on the account you just paid off. And so that can be tricky. It doesn't hurt if you get a really good offer, but if you're close to your limits on your accounts, you do need to be prepared that if you transfer a balance, for example, the card you pay off may lower your credit limit, which may sort of negate that benefit. It still doesn't mean it may not be a good idea, especially if you're getting a really good interest rate on the balance transfer. But it also can end up as more of a trap than a benefit. So it's not to say it's not good, but it doesn't substitute for having to really try to pay down those balances, because that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck as far as your credit score. Other than something negative being removed from your credit score, the number one thing that most people can do to build their credit score is to pay down their credit card balances. And don't close the account. Leave it open. But to pay down those balances will really boost your score.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And thank you again, Jerry, for all the resources and information that's in your book. I want to go ahead and give your website again, and that's where the listeners can get a copy of your ebook. It's www.reduce-debt/reduce-stress.com.
Yeah, and they don't have to put the slashes in. They can just type reduce debt, reduce stress, and that'll direct them to the website as well. So.
And it does. Okay. That's
both
the perfectionist
ways.
In me showing.
That's okay. We did it both ways. We knew not everyone wants to type in all those dashes.
Perfect. Thank you again, and thank you for the opportunity to share my story in your book.
Oh, Nancy, I really thank you because your story is very inspiring, and I think it's going to bring a lot of hope to anyone who either is dealing with a gambling addiction or perhaps, you know, knows someone who is and wants to help, or someone who really has to make a tough call with their finances and wants to know that there is hope, you know, after they've gone through what may seem like the worst at the time. So I really appreciate your sharing your story with us.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. I would encourage anyone that to reach out, whether it's your finances or an addiction or your personal life, contact Jerry and send for her book. And it certainly is strength to reach out. You can reach me at my website, which is www.gamblingonlife.com. My email address is nancy@gamblingonlife. I want you to know that when you reach out, I have certainly many complimentary resources on my website. Send me an email. Let me know what you're grateful for or how I can help you as a coach and mentor, and I'm happy to get back with you in a comprehensive way. And all our conversations and emails are certainly confidential. So reach out, send an email, or submit a request on my website, and I will get back with you as soon as possible. Thanks again, Jerry. And I would like to close by letting you know that our next show will be next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, the 20th of May, and I will have Holly Hakes Peterson. She is author of Recovery, A New Story. It is an encouraging and forward-moving focus on recovery in any area of our lives. So join us again next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name is Nancy D. Adler, your Gambling on Life growth coach. Bye for now. Have a great evening, everyone. I want you to know you're all winners. Bye for now.